Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And we welcome you to yet another Monday where we have our conversations, as always, on finances. And today we are going to be looking at the side hustle economy. We are, of course, living in that era where just one job ain't gonna cut it. Let's be honest, 2026, relying on a single paycheck, it's a risky game. With inflation and economic shifts, the old one-job model is becoming a thing of the past. But what if your 9-to-5 isn't enough? Today, we're discussing the side hustle economy, where roughly one third of people are actively diversifying their income by not just finding other spaces to work, but building a safety net, right? Let's talk about turning your skills into sustainable multiple streams of income without burning out. And that's the conversation we're going to be having as we equip you to make your sense make some sense. And joining us in this conversation is our host, Puti, who's going to be talking to us on this particular subject, helping us be more savvy when it comes to our finances. And she joins us now on the line. Good morning to you and welcome once again.
Morning, Derek. Thank you for having me. How are you today?
No, we're doing all right. And trusting that we find you well as well.
I'm great, thank you.
Marvelous stuff. Thank you, by the way, for being available to share with us these gems we're going to be touching on, helping us make money, not just from the one-job gig, but to try and say, hey, have multiple streams of income. They call it a side hustle economy, right, where you try to augment that one income by others. Thank you so much for your presence.
Thank you.
So let's jump straight into the discussion here. In this day and age, side hustle conversations have shifted from nice to haves to actually something that's of a necessity. Why are we seeing this massive rise in running two or more side streams of income?
The biggest thing is that, you know, the economy, our cost of living has outpaced salaries for most people, right?
Okay.
So you can imagine a teacher earning, let's say, 18,000 rand a month in 2020 is not earning 40,000 rand a month this year, five years later, right? So chances are you've just been getting your 2%, 5%, 10% increase. So that has not caught up with inflation at all, which is what causes the rise in cost of living, right? So that's one. So in effect, the math is not mathing anymore.
Yeah, you can say that again.
you're spending more to get to the very same job.
Okay.
But you're earning less. That's the main thing, right? And in these days anyway, you know, the technology and globalization, people want more.
Yep.
People did, yep. They get to see that they can have more, and therefore to supplement whatever it is your income is, you realize that you need to find the money somewhere else.
Is there some understanding that there is some liberty? Because usually when you're seeing people doing side hustles, it's because they've got some sort of extra time to be able to do that. And it's not so demanding on their own quality of time. So it's not necessarily a second job per se, but it's able to do something whilst you're still doing something. Is there an economy perhaps to say we are no longer wanting your standard 9-to-5s and we're then opting for 4-5 hustles that we know we can be handling at the same time, and none of them are wanting me to be there for 8 hours? Is there that kind of culture coming in your experience?
There is that culture coming in. Although I must say this, we hear the gurus talking about side hustles and things. I mean, what's this? Passive income, excuse me. Passive income. There is no passive income on this planet. That's the biggest lie, number one. I would rather you call it scalable income, because passive means it's something that sits there and grows by itself. Weeds are passive.
Yeah.
Weeds in the garden, yes. You don't need to call them. You don't need to do anything for them. They will come and they will grow. That's passive. But everything else, you need some form of nurturing, right? That's one thing. So I would rather we call it scalable. Scalable, why? Because something that scales is where you put one today, tomorrow it gives you 10, the next day it gives you 100, then 1,000, then 1,000,000. That's scale. You see, it's not 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 1 is 3. That's just me simplifying scalable, right?
Yeah.
So that's one. And the truth of the matter is, usually people who are telling you these gurus that are telling us about passive income and all of this, they've done a lot of the 4 to 5 changing time for your money early when none of us were watching,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And those systems are what are creating the passive income.
The so-called
you
passive,
understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's active. This is the framework I would rather use. It's active income first, then you get the asset income.
Okay.
It's you understand? Yeah. So I think for me, it's you're right to say I'm hearing a lot of more people wanting money for, you know, I wanna earn while I sleep. Yes, you can if you have a system. Right. If you have an asset that can do that. But even with that, I would rather, hence I say scalable income with minimal maintenance.
Because you still need to maintain, right? It's not like you can never get involved. I hear you.
Yeah.
We're taking it too literally, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
For someone sitting at home right now, perhaps, and they've got basically no income, no capital to start anything, are there some zero capital side hustles that actually work and generate an income for somebody that you can share with us so that we can be benefited, our listeners can try them out?
The biggest is skills. What skills do you have?
Okay.
That's the first thing. What skills do you have that somebody else is willing or maybe willing to pay for? One, right? Then secondly, I think the issue of capital obviously depends on what level you want to start at. If you're wanting to replace an 18,000 rand a month net income, the level that you're going to have to do this, it's quite. But if I want an extra 2,000, an extra 5,000, maybe we can start somewhere. That's one. So your skills, what do you have that someone's willing to pay for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, not many people today can say they don't have access to a lot of things. We've got our social media, which is Wi-Fi, right? You can sit there and put your offer where people are already ready to buy. Where is that? Facebook, local Facebook groups, WhatsApp communities. You just can walk or drive or catch a taxi to the mall, sit there, connect to the Wi-Fi or the local library and post your content or post your product. The thing with any business, passive or not, is you need a place. You need to be, you need to have a clear offer. One, what are you selling? For who, you need to be clear. And you need to be where those people that are already wanting to buy that thing are available to buy.
Okay.
Anyway, so social media, is the first thing you can do. So that needs very little capital. Packaging the content is just your time now, right? That you don't necessarily have to pay for as yet, yes.
And I love this idea of skills because sometimes we seldom really understand that people pay for value, right? And the only way to increase your value is to increase your skill set. We somehow, sadly, living in an economy at a time where people mostly want to just earn for doing as little as possible. Not because they don't have anything else to do, but because we're just almost, I'm afraid to say it, but let me put it out there, lazy, right? And we just want, can someone pay me? And I have to do as little as possible. And unfortunately, that's not life, right? Because reality says, what are you offering that I then be willing to buy from you? And that's basically what you're saying. There's this idea of selling something that you possessed, right? Maybe you had some a watch or an appliance or something that you had that you're thinking, okay, no, I don't need this anymore and I can sell. And that's how sometimes people get into maybe not just generating income, but actually start a business in that format. Can we translate that idea of selling maybe pre-loved, as they call them, second-hand issues, items? Can that actually become a business model? How so?
It can. You said it. Business model, you know, because some of us, selling things. You sell one thing today, somebody buys two things tomorrow. You think you have a business. That's not a business. You just saw an opportunity to make a little bit more money. A business has to be modeled around a niche. What is your niche? What do you do, right? You must have a system that you can repeat. Okay, so that's fine. So let's talk about this selling pre-loved clothes and whatever. For you to be successful in that, because that market is crowded, right? The secondhand clothes market is crowded. And usually I've seen squatter cams and whatever, lower LSM areas where someone will just park their car, open their boot and put their pre-loved items, right? For 15 Rand, for 20 Rand. For me, sometimes I sit and ask myself, is that even worth the trouble to drive to that place, sit for a whole day for people to buy? You see, so that's one. Now, two, but let me not discourage anyone who wants to start that way.
Okay.
Because what that does is it gives you the confidence to know that you can actually offer something that someone is willing to pay for it.
Yep.
You probably need to talk to a few people and convince them to buy from you.
You're learning
that is
skills as well. Yep.
You're learning skills to sell.
Yep.
You know, marketing, how you place your products, where you place your products. So let's not discard that. It depends on what level you're starting from, right?
Okay.
So let's say secondhand, pre-loved clothes. Where you want, because business is competitive, we all know that, right? So my advice would be stand out from day one. For example, instead of saying pre-loved clothes, how about maybe if you're a plus-sized woman, let's say, you'd say plus-size clothes for under 300. You know, that's already catching someone different, you see. And the question is, what are people looking for? What are, if you can imagine someone on the internet, right? What are they searching? Plus size clothes, maybe.
Okay.
Budget, you understand? So let's, hence, so if in my teachings all the time, I never mention the word hustle because we have the hustle economy, the hustle culture.
Yeah.
Hustle for me, just that word sounds like you're trying your luck.
And you're trying to con hustle. Somebody. Yeah. Yeah,
you see. So if, I must just put it out there. But you understand, if you're really wanting to consistently replace this cost of living of ours that's just running away from us, if you want to get something that replaces it or makes a big dent, take it a little bit more seriously. Dedicate your 4 to 5 hours after your 9 to 5. Take it seriously and don't just get busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Focus on what you're building.
I remember somebody saying, if you treat it like a hobby, then it'll pay you like a hobby. But if you treat it like a business, then definitely you will find it responding in like manner. Now, we spoke earlier on about a zero capital item that you can start. And then you said, of course, it can be, but it needs to then be what kind of scale you're wanting to address, right? And somebody's saying, you know what, I want to replace my 9 to 5, or I want to replace that 18,000, like you put it across. And then they don't have the capital. Then they say, okay, let me then go to Mashonisa. Puti says she can give me X and I can pay in 15% by this time frame. Or let me go to the bank and they say they can give me a 5-year loan. You know, is there a warning you can give to say somebody wanted to start a side hustle? Or like you're saying, scalable income. What is your advice on scaling organically rather than falling into debt?
You know, even the Bible tells us, you know, this, the borrower is what?
Is a slave. To the lender.
To the lender. So that's one. So now what you've added to that problem of trying to replace something, depending on whatever level or the aggression that you go with, with this thing, right? Now you have a problem because if it doesn't work, you not only have not lost time, I didn't say that right, but you not only have not lost time, but you now owe someone. Money that you must still pay back at interest. And you can never outrun the cost of capital. You just can never outrun it. Even with normal businesses that are operating on overdrafts and things like that, stable businesses, you have to make sure that you replace that debt ASAP because it grows every single day, whether your income is growing or not. That's your problem. You see, you're starting something. Anyone tells you to do it, they're just a gambler. Then it's just chance. You're just hoping everything works.
What would then be your advice then? What should they rather do?
Sell first. Prove your concept first. At least if indeed the Mashonisa way is the only way, prove your concept first. Because, you know, bigger conversation, a lot of people think they need more funding. They think they need more loans. But if you go back and look at, is your business even fundable? Is it even bankable? Will people pay you for that? You know, sell 10 units first. Then maybe get an order for 100. Then I'm borrowing against those orders.
Yes.
You see, there's a difference right there. To say, I've got an order for 2,000. Let me go borrow 2,000 knowing that, let me borrow for what? 1,500, which is the cost, right? Then I know I'm going to have an extra 500. The question is, that extra 500, does it go to paying off that interest or does it go to your profit line? You see? So now that's the thinking we start having. Continue selling.
I like this idea. You remind me, a couple of weeks back, I was at a different church and we were just conducting a program as part of the radio team here. And one of the young people approached me during lunch and said, hey, we want to run a business idea by you. I'm like, oh, okay. And they started pitching. And I'm hearing what they're saying. Okay, they're trying to try something out. But it's still not even in R&D phase. It's like really just an idea that they're thinking about. And I'm thinking, all right. And then they now bringing it to the pitch now. So we were thinking if you could invest in our idea. I'm like, okay, what were you thinking? No, we need 500,000. I'm like,
For what?
First of all, I was like really chuffed by the confidence that somehow I'm having 500 grand that I can give them. But second to that was like, but wait a minute, what have you done that makes you think this thing is worth you getting 500,000 from somebody? Mm-hmm. It's a concept, number one, that I'm not even seeing how it can pay you, how it can bring you the return on investment of the effort you're putting in, let alone me, the person who's lending you the money. And like you're saying, it's important that you start first and then see how it actually works before you approach somebody for money that you don't have, that you will need to pay back. Like you're saying, whether you're making money or not, they're going to need their money back. And you've got to pay.
You've got to pay. Yeah. So before you go, Derek, the other one is so if I'm making 500 this month off my side hustle, put 300 back in. Improve your packaging. Improve what you're offering, because people want more. People demand more. Put it back in your business and grow it slowly like that. Then you understand. Yeah. Then psychologically you're at ease knowing that it's just you and your money. Mm. When you start adding other people, then it's too much pressure.
Things can go. And I like this idea you're bringing in to say sometimes we think because people are buying the product, therefore the product is good enough. Whereas we forget you need to grow, you need to scale it up, because sometimes people get tired very easily. We're a very fickle bunch. If you give me the same thing 6 months later, I'm thinking, this is old news now. How are you changing? How are you keeping up with the times? Mm-hmm. And that is because you're trying to change the offering and the packaging there. When should a side hustle, this idea we're bringing extra income on the side, income streams, when should that actually move from being informal to being something you register and you formalize and you actually even bring in tax implications? And maybe talk to us about that, the tax implications of then going that route, or can we still be even tax liable when we're in the informal space?
Yes, definitely. Look, SARS doesn't care whether you're registered or not. SARS cares on what you're earning. Okay. They want a piece of your earnings. That's why you pay employees tax on your salary. Yeah. It goes off. You see it before you get it. For business, from brand one, you will pay. Right? That's what SARS expects. Mm. So for me, it depends. You know, that's now a structuring decision. If you're a person, a human being, Puti pays higher taxes than Puti Pty Ltd. You understand? That's the rule. So SARS taxes businesses less than it taxes individuals.
And think it's because, the inverse, eh?
Yes, people think it's the inverse. So if I'm Puti and I'm earning, so as Puti, I need to earn more than, I think, 8,000 or 7,900. It changes every year before I can start paying tax, right?
Okay.
But let's play around 7.9K, right? Anything less than that, you must still submit to SARS your income, but he will charge you zero. It's exempt.
Okay.
That's one. So you don't want to be hiding from SARS. Mm. So if you want to do it differently, you can register a business. But remember, that comes with its own compliance issues. Mm. You have to pay taxes every year. You have to submit your returns. You have to pay for that registration, which is CIPC. You know, all those things. You have to do annual returns. You must now probably start talking to an accountant. You see, so legalizing your business, your hustle, because that's what starting a business does. You're legalizing it. The good thing is, when you register, you get 3 C's, right? You get credibility. Corporate clients want an in. So if I'm Puti Pty Ltd, I would rather do business with Derek Pty Ltd because you can send me an invoice.
Yes.
It's okay. I can do business with you in your personal capacity. It's okay as long as you've got the proper documentation. Mm. But corporate usually want to do business with another business.
With another Pty,
Yes. Two, you get that legal protection a little bit. So instead of me suing you, Derek, in your personal capacity, I can sue your business.
Mm.
You see, that's that little protection that now I'm not going to come for your house. Obviously, also depending on the type of business you're in. But for most, and the type of business. Remember, if you're a medical doctor or a lawyer or something, there's some protections where you can't completely say it's my business that gave you that service, not me. Even though you were the one.
Who does the service.
Yes, true. There's some protections, but that's going deeper.
Yeah.
So you get the credibility, you get the cover. And then you can claim some of those business expenses in the production of that income when you're a Pty. Mm. You can still do it as a human being, as a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the taxes are higher.
Mm.
You see, it's in your personal.
Yeah.
So those are the technicalities. So I would say, I think once your side hustle is consistently giving you maybe 5,000 rand, and this is not tax advice, but it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe from 5,000 rand a month consistently, let's start formalizing so that SARS doesn't come back later and say, but 5 years ago, you were making 15,000 from this hobby of yours, and you were only paying me the income from your salary.
Mm.
Now they're going to charge you and they're going to tax you 5 years back with interest. So you don't want to play around with that.
Yeah, you don't want to be found wanting indeed. Well, Puti, before we wrap it up, I wanted to just say one thing that really, really turns off a lot of people is somehow we see, you know, people who are, I don't know if I should say they're high functioning individuals in our societies. It looks like they somehow have 30 hours a day and they can do this and that and that. And you're just struggling just to keep up with life. You know, somebody who's saying, hey, how do I manage my 9 to 5? Because I still need to go to work, but I also need to then live life. Right. And then on top of that, I must do this. And you're saying I mustn't only have one side hustle. I must also do this and that and the other. How are we doing it? How are we doing it? How do you help somebody who's saying I'm struggling?
Hey, that's a real one. Hey, that's a big problem, right?
Yeah.
So I say energy before the hours.
Okay.
What do I mean by that? When are you most productive, right? Is it late at night when people are sleeping? Is it early in the morning before people get up?
Okay.
So that's number one, because you want to be you don't want to always be going up the river, you understand? Make it easy so it fits it. So if I have an extra hour or two in the morning before I start my work or whatever, let me use that time. So it's about productivity and efficiency.
Okay.
Not busy. Not being busy. A lot of people are busy at the end of the week. Nothing to show.
Yeah.
So where does your energy go? So I would say, for me, separate these things. It's you, maybe you're working, your salary pays your bills. Your hustle is what is going to build your future. So look at it that way and say, when I'm spending all these extra hours wherever I'm finding them, it's because I'm securing a better future.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
That reframing already puts you in a better position psychologically to want to find those extra hours to invest in this thing of yours. That's how I can say it. We're tired. We are busy. The world, you know, the world is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
That's true.
And there's everything wanting our attention. So we can't ignore that. But you got to be more strict with your time if you're wanting to do things like that.
Okay.
You must be prepared to give up some things.
Mm.
I can't be wanting to build a side hustle, but with all due respect, I want to catch up on all my soapies and all my series the same as everyone.
Yeah.
That time where you come back home, because if you think about it, we do have the time.
Yep.
If you think about it, you get home around 6, 7, you prepare dinner, maybe put the kids to bed. 8, 9, it's usually time that you have to yourself.
Mm.
You switch off that
That's
TV.
True.
You put in an extra 2 hours on your laptop or in your books, whatever, wherever you need to do your research. And that's 2 hours into your business.
Mm.
That's an extra 2 hours.
Mm.
You see, so it's, for me, it's a bit of an excuse.
Time management,
if you
basically
want it, you'll find the time.
Yeah,
if you want it, you'll find the time.
And I love that. I love that. I mean, someone really said, you know what, if you ever consider that if you're living life properly, you've got 8 hours to work, you've got 8 hours of sleep, and I can guarantee you majority of us are not even putting 8 hours in. And then you've got 8 hours that you are not doing anything else. Fair and fine, maybe we can take another 2 hours for travel, like you're saying. Maybe you get home about 6, 7. So to put another 2 hours for travel to and from work, which means you still have a good 6 hours that you can do something that is tangible for yourself. But yeah, if you really are somebody, they can't even point to you as to what they are doing with that time. So it's an issue of time management. If you really are serious about it, it will show in how you structure your life. Thank you so much, Puti, again, for your time, and thank you for guiding us and for helping us make sense of this conversation right here. We truly appreciate you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Only a pleasure. Thank you. And that's how we're going to be wrapping up that conversation, talking to you this morning here, looking at the importance of understanding how necessary, imperative it is to actually have extra streams of income. And joining us this morning was our guest, Puti Mphelo, who is a chartered accountant, a neuro encoding specialist, a master NLP practitioner, and an author as well. And we were doing this just so that you can be better equipped. Take it and utilize it.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.